We're running a little behind schedule, but that's all right. We certainly appreciated the ministry of our brother Boyd this morning. At the earlier service, you all received, I hope, a bulletin. And inside you will find the schedule of activities, and you will see that we have two sessions each morning. And on Tuesday and Thursday morning, there will be divided sessions with the ladies meeting here in the tabernacle, and the men probably in the lower area of the retreat center rather than in the recreation hall as specified. Now, this program is laid out a few weeks in advance and prepared so you know nothing is cast in iron or concrete. So don't be surprised if we have a change or two in the course of the week. We just look to the Lord for a rich blessing on this time together. And then also in the book, you'll find the pieces copied from Know Your Missionary about the countries where we have representatives on the ground. We have the country of Ireland. We have Colin Rosemary Sheldon, the family here. Mexico with Bruce and Chris Bell and their family. Zaire with Rex and Nancy Trodman. And Ecuador, Charles and Holly Willer family. We look forward to hearing something from all of these. And there's a piece in here that our brother Jabe Nicholson will be using on Wednesday morning if you look at evangelism in North America. And then there follows the reproductions from the Missionary Prayer Handbook for the days of the conference while we are here. And then at the end, there is an announcement about the upcoming conferences, the CMML, the fall of 1987. That's the second Saturday in November, when we will have Dr. Dan Smith, probably by that time, and Dr. James Naismith ministering to us on Ye Are the Light of the World and Ye Are the Salt of the Earth. And then the Spring Conference for Men, on the third Saturday in March, the theme will be on the Vine of Factor Basics with Dr. Rob Lindstedt and Jabe Nicholson as our speakers. So keep those dates in mind, particularly when you're back home in the local assembly and somebody's planning the schedule. Try to keep them open so there are no conflicts. And on the back cover, we have maps of the countries that are represented by missionaries here at the conference. Remind you, the bookstore, the hours are posted on the door. Good selection of books in there, the kind of books that you don't normally find in most Christian bookstores. Also, all the sessions of this conference are being taped. And if you want to secure a set or secure any particular tape, why stop in at the bookstore and leave your order there. If the demand is not too heavy, you'll have them before you leave. If it's heavy, you'll have to wait, and they'll get them to you as fast as you can. But the tapes are all available, and all you have to do is register for them in the bookstore. And then Bill Peterson has available, if you want to see him after this meeting, some copies of David Long's review of the book, Roots, Renewal, and the Brethren. David's booklet is called Renewal, Authentic, or Synthetic. And Bill has these available for you. So if you see him at the end of this service. And remember the activities being sponsored here throughout the week. And be sure you sign up on the activity sheets. And then lunch will be at 12 o'clock. Again, we'd remind you to please go in and take your seats. And have your soup will be there, and then there'll be directions as to which tables go to the salad bar and the sandwich makings at the proper time. So please just go in and take your seats at the table. Now, there's always a question that's asked about missionaries, and that is, how do you get there from here? People hear about missionaries who have been on the field for 1 year or 90 years, and they wonder, how do they get there? There are all sorts of reasons given or methods propounded as to how the missionary really gets there. They think a lot of it comes from solicitation for missionaries, from groups encouraging and looking for them and pleading for them to go to the mission field, that they owe it to the Lord and so on. There are all sorts of thoughts that come to their minds as they're put out by various mission boards and societies. But the greatest neglect is the fact that this call, the way to get there, is by a direct call from the Lord to be of service to Him. We have with us this morning Bruce Bell. He and his wife and four boys are on their way to Mexico. They're going to be in Texas for a while. They're learning the language at the Rio Grande Bible Institute. It'll be very practical training. It's not very far from the Mexican border, and they'll be even spending time in Mexico practicing their language. Bruce and Chris arrived here last night. Quite late. She's nursing her youngest baby, so she's not here at the moment. And They just sold their house or just passed title to their house on Thursday, packed it into a U-Haul and a container on top. And so you can understand that they've had quite a busy time saying goodbye to their friends and family and getting on the way. And they're due in North Carolina on Wednesday night. So whether Chris is going to be with the ladies tomorrow or not, I'm not sure yet. But at any rate, we're very happy to have Bruce with us this morning. Just going to ask him if he would now come and talk to us and tell us about the call of the Lord and his desire to be of service and anything else that the Lord has laid on his heart. Chris?
Bruce, rather. That's okay. Everybody calls me Chris, so I don't feel too bad. I don't know what they call Chris, though. We are thankful to be here on our way out. We're thankful to have the opportunity to share with you how our gracious Lord has worked in our lives and how he continues to work in our lives, calling us now into his service in Mexico. We are here, though, not really to tell our story. We're here to tell his story, because it's by God's grace that he called us, that he pulled us out of that pit and saved us, and it's by his grace as well that he has called us into his service. It's sometimes very painful to talk about our past, but our desire here today is to give all glory to him, because what we are totally by his grace. Let's just ask now that he'll be glorified by this time we have together. Our Father, how thankful we are for thy grace, thy love which sought us, saved us, set our feet upon a rock, and established us as thy children. How thankful we are, Lord, that you continue to work in our lives, desiring to conform us to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessed privilege it is for us to be here today, to enjoy this time as brothers and sisters, to enjoy hearing directly from you, from my ministers. We pray that today our Lord Jesus might be glorified, lifted up, magnified, and that he would be given all credit for what's been done in our lives and what continues to be done. We ask it for his sake, the one who bought us. Amen. In considering our past and recalling the time before my wife, Chris, and I knew the Savior, we're reminded what a privilege it is for us to be a part of God's family. We had no claim on God. We had no rights or privileges before the Lord of glory. Yet now I stand here and you sit there, as brothers and sisters in Christ, children of the living God. What a privilege it is for us to be here, to enjoy a relationship with the very God of the universe. We know that we were without hope. We were dead. Ephesians tells us that we who were dead in our trespasses and sins have been made alive together in Christ and been raised up, and were seated with him in heavenly places. What a privilege it is for us to enjoy that fellowship, that relationship with God. But we were without hope. My wife and I have been walking with the Lord now for almost 10 years, and we've enjoyed that relationship with him. God has changed us in so many ways that when we think back to the time before we knew him, it almost seems like we're talking about two other people. We can hardly believe that we're the same people. It's God who's done that. He's changed us. My wife, Chris, was brought up in a Catholic home. I was brought up in a Protestant denomination. But both of us grew up during that explosive decade of the 1960s. You recall that time? It was a time of rebellion, a time when we rejected the values that we had been taught. The music we listened to encouraged us to do our own thing, so that's what we did. We lived for drugs, free love, and rock and roll. And that's what even brought us together. Those were our common interests. My wife and I, for a year and a half, went out, and then we decided to get married. As you can imagine, our marriage was very shaky right from the start. That was being the basis for it. And we had a rough time. We struggled to make it work, but after 4 years, we decided that there just was no hope for our marriage anymore. We decided to get a divorce. We each took off in different directions, looking for happiness. looking to find out what this was all about. This isn't what we had planned for our lives. I got involved with the cults, the Rosicrucian, Transcendental Meditation, Eastern philosophies, but none of them gave me any answers to what life was all about, and none of them gave me any peace. I had tried just about everything there was to try. I was desperate. Then I remembered someone had given me a Bible while I was in college. They were passing them out in the hall. I had taken one, stuck it in a drawer somewhere, and for 7 years, hadn't looked at it. But I hadn't thrown it away either. I never had really wanted to look at it because I knew too many people who went to church. And they were no different than me. They went to church on Sunday, then during the week they did whatever they wanted to. They didn't seem to have any answers. But I figured I had nothing to lose. So I picked it up. And I started reading, and I started to see how God looked at me. He said I was like a lost sheep, just wandering around, doing what I wanted to do instead of following Him. But what I called doing my own thing, He called by another name. He called it sin. Now, I had no trouble in agreeing with God that I was a sinner. That much I knew. But I just felt that I really couldn't talk to God and ask Him to help me. Somebody like me had no right to talk to the God of the universe. I thought maybe if I quit drugs, tried to straighten out my life, then I could come to God and ask Him for help. But it was on October 15, 1977, that the Lord used a passage from the Bible that changed my life forever. And it reads, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God." And then I realized that it didn't matter whether I quit drugs. It didn't matter how I tried to clean up my life. It didn't make any difference. God still looked at me the same way. He still looked at me as a sinner. But what mattered was what Jesus Christ did when He died on that cross, because He took the punishment for all of my sins. And what God offered to me was forgiveness as a gift for free. And that day I believed God. And I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior and turned over my life to Him. Well, I told my wife what I had done. No, she wasn't too happy about it. After all, I had tried all of these different cults, all of these different groups, all of these different ways that promised that somehow I'd be different. And she thought it was just like that, something that would wear off after a little bit of time. In fact, she thought I was crazy. But she couldn't deny that somehow I was different. I didn't look at things the same way anymore. I quit drugs. I started reading the Bible. And I'd come home and I would tell her what I had read in the Bible that day, what Jesus said, what He did, and I would cry as I told her those things. She thought I was weird. I started listening to a Christian radio station that I saw advertised on the back of a bumper sticker. And each night before I would leave for work, I would readjust her radio to that station, hoping that when she put it on, she would hear the gospel message and be saved. Well, one night she did put on the radio, and she heard a woman talking. This woman was talking about how she had asked God to use her to help another person who had a problem. My wife turned off the radio. But that little bit she heard was enough to prompt her to pray for her father, who was an alcoholic. Even though my wife was strung out on drugs and alcohol herself, she began to pray for her father. And as she prayed, the Holy Spirit convicted her of her own sin and of her own need for Christ, and she ended up asking God to forgive her and to help her. That was January 14, 1978. Praise God. He alone is the one who has straightened out our lives. He alone is the one who has put our marriage back together. We owe everything to Him. It's our privilege as those alive from the dead to enjoy this fellowship with God. But not only that, as if that wasn't enough, but it's our privilege to give something back to God as well. As if God needed anything. What does the God of the universe need from us? Everything comes from Him. Yet it's our privilege to give service to God, to offer something back to Him as a way of gratitude, as a way to show our love, as a way to show our obedience. Well, it wasn't too long after I was saved that I told my wife that I believed God was calling me to the mission field. Well, she was recently saved herself. And she said she would be willing to do anything for God except go to a foreign country. Well, I said, okay. That's okay. I began to pray for her, though. I began to pray that if it was true that God really was calling us to the mission field, that He would change her mind. And we left it there. Well, over the years, that's exactly what happened. The more she read her Bible, the more she began to see that she wasn't completely yielded to God. She wanted to serve God, but she wanted to serve Him in the way she wanted to serve Him. She wanted to be used by God, but only in the way that she wanted to be used, not in the way that He would choose to use her. Well, it was in 1983 that the Lord moved the hearts of a brother and sister in Christ to pay for a vacation for us to Greenwood Hills, right here, to a conference. In fact, it was right around this time. It was a family conference, and the teaching dealt with the book of Leviticus, a very unlikely book for us to study at that time. Maybe it's an unlikely book for some of us to study now. But we came here and we began to listen to the teaching. And our Bible teacher spoke of the Feast of the First Fruits, how the people would bring in the best of the harvest. They would offer it up to God. The first sheaf was offered up to Him even before they ate of it. The application to our lives became very clear. We needed to offer up to God our lives first. Not after we had lived for ourselves and then at the end of our lives offer ourselves to God to serve Him. But what we needed to do was to make ourselves available to God now for whatever way He would use us, whether it was in the homeland or on a foreign field. But what we needed to do was to be willing to be used by God in whatever way He would choose to use us. We returned home. We were excited. We started going out to the missionary prayer meeting in Kenilworth. And our heads would spin as we heard of all the different needs around the world. As the letters were read, we heard of so many needs to be filled, so many people who were needed to help out in the field, and we felt we could fill some of those requirements. And as we prayed for specific missionaries, specific countries, we just didn't sense that God was calling us or leading us in that direction of any one of those countries. In 1985, the company that I worked for gave me a free vacation. Another free vacation. God seems to use free vacations in our lives to speak to us. I don't think the trend will continue, but in 1985, the company gave me a trip to Cancun, Mexico. It was a sales incentive. It was designed to spur me on to bigger and better sales within the company. We went down there. It was the first time my wife and I had been away from our children for 10 years. It was a free vacation. We had come with Spanish tracts, equipped to pass out to the people, but we weren't looking to Mexico as a mission field. In fact, when we got off the plane in Mexico and the door was open and the heat hit us like an oven, I turned to my wife and said, "There's a nice place to visit, but I sure wouldn't want to minister here." As we were there, though, we began to develop an affection for the people. And when we returned home, that affection began to grow. We started corresponding with missionaries in Mexico, finding more about the people, more about the needs, more about maybe where we could fit in there if God wanted us to. And the more that we read our Bible and the more that we spoke to the Lord concerning Mexico, the more He confirmed in our hearts and through His Word that yes, indeed, He was calling us to Mexico. You know, after Jesus was baptized, it says in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4 that he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. But you'll notice in Mark chapter 1, it's a little bit different. It says there he was driven of the Spirit into the wilderness. That's the way we feel. God is leading us to Mexico. But God is also driving us to Mexico, because there are times when we look at what's before us and we say, Lord, this just seems too hard to do. It seems too hard to uproot a family of 4 children, to take them away from their friends, from their relatives, to uproot them from a lifestyle that they've known and put them in a foreign culture. We said, Lord, it just seems too hard. And those are the times that the Lord continues to compel us and to drive us in the direction of Mexico, assuring us every time that, yes, He is the one who goes before us. He is the one who will fight for us. He is the one who has called us. Therefore, we can't fail. This wasn't our idea. It was His idea. We feel privileged that God has given us the opportunity to be His ambassadors to the people of Mexico. The people of Mexico are a very proud people. They're proud of their heritage. They're proud of their culture. But there are people who are being destroyed and crushed by their poverty, by the inflation that's gripping the country. There are people who are chained to religious superstitions and rituals. But we hope, with God's help, to be able to point them to freedom from this slavery through Jesus Christ, to work with our brothers and sisters down in Mexico. Therefore, we have sold our house, we have sold our possessions, and we are on our way now down to language school in Texas, Rio Grande Language School, to learn the language, to become acquainted with the culture, so that we might be able to serve God. And in May of 1988, then to go down into the area of Puebla to work with the groups of believers that are scattered throughout the area, teaching the word and going out and evangelizing the area. We would pray that you would remember us as we go, for safety, for help in learning the language, for adjusting to the culture. But most of all, we pray that we might glorify Jesus Christ. The verse has taken on new meaning. Whether by life or by death, we are the Lord's. And we pray that whether by life or by death, that we would glorify Him, because He's done so much for us. We can do nothing less than be obedient to what He has called us to do. We haven't answered an ad in a magazine to go down and serve Him. We are merely seeking to be obedient to the call that He has given us. Please pray for us. Thank you. Amen.
No. I'm sure we've all been much impressed with what Bruce has said to us and told us about his experience before the Lord. We have been privileged to be a member of the same assembly as Bruce and Chris. See them at work and see them witnessing to the Lord, and you're not going to miss them. We're going to miss the kids. We're going to miss them and their efforts for the Lord, but we know that the Lord will bless. And we trust that He will continue to be with them throughout the days ahead. The back of the auditorium, on the way out, you can pick up one of their prayer cards with a picture of the family to help you to pray for them. And that's another reason to remember the 1988 Missionary Prayer Handbook. Don't think the 1987 one will last you through next year, because that's one of the many changes that will be in that book. So remember, when the notice comes out, to secure the 1988 Missionary Prayer Handbook. I thought I might ask Bruce just a few questions. One of the things that a lot of people asked about is, what do the boys feel about this? Well, now, the littlest one, Joshua, hasn't any idea what's going on. I don't know about Timothy, but maybe you tell us something about Bruce and Jeremiah and how they feel about going to Mexico.
Well, as you said, Joshua cares about nursing and having his diaper changed, so it doesn't matter where he does that. But our two youngest, Timothy is 5, Jeremiah is 7, they're excited. They're excited because, as we've been discussing our plans, the bottom line each time has been God is the one who wants us to go and tell people about Jesus. So they're excited about going. Our oldest son, Bruce, is 12, and he is a little more aware that there will be some hardships. There'll be some times when he'll miss his friends and his family. There'll be some changes that will be made. And he's a little scared. And understandably so, because we're a little scared. But he knows that it's God's desire for us to go. In fact, he told us recently that he had asked God to tell him in a special way that if we really were to go. And he got an answer from God that, yes, we were to go. And he was excited about that, that, yes, God would really speak to him personally and let him know that we were to go. So we're very thankful. The Lord has been so gracious to us each step of the way. So he's excited as well, and he's excited about the trip down to Texas, because we plan on spending a lot of time with the children and make it kind of a family time on the way down.
As we said, this is how do you get there from here. Now, this wasn't just a sudden decision, as you can see from, or remember from what Bruce said to you. It's something that the Lord laid on his heart, and we're very thankful that he mentioned Greenwood Hills. It was at a CMML conference here that he was first burdened about the missionary effort. Shows you the blessings of an organization such as Greenwood Hills, the number of boys and girls that have been led to the Lord, the number of people that have been challenged about committing their lives to Christ and serving Him. Bruce and Chris didn't just say, we want to go to Mexico. Can we have a letter of commendation? They came to the elders a long time ago and said their exercise about serving Him on the mission field. That time they didn't know where. She had many meetings with him, particularly with Bruce, and talked with him. He had different thoughts, different ideas from time to time, and we just met together and we counseled and we prayed. Then there came a time when we really felt that the Lord had laid it on his heart and there was no changing his mind. It was time for the assembly to act. So we made it known to the local assembly and said that unless somebody had some reservations or some questions, why the assembly was going to commend them to the Lord's work in Mexico. The assembly was 100% behind it. We had one of the finest commendation services you could imagine on a Sunday evening, July 5th. Despite the fact that it was the 4th of July weekend, the chapel was full, right to the brim. Bruce's parents were there. Chris's parents were there. It was a great time of testimony. And we just pray that the Lord will go with them and help them. You know, as they go, our Lord has said, all power is given unto me. Go ye into all the world. And then he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And being with him always counts on a lot of help from Christians at home, like you and like me, like their home assembly, to pray for them, to remember them, to support them, to help them in any way we can. You know, this is where our missionary service committees come in. Missionary service organizations from the assembly, as Bruce and I have both intimated, did not go out seeking missionaries. But once a commitment has been made and the Lord has definitely called them to the field, these groups stand ready to be of any assistance they possibly can. I know Bruce has expressed already the thanks for the and appreciation for the help he has received thus far. And we look to be able to continue to help him and to others that are commended to the work of the Lord. You may know that this is our 4th year for having a conference for missionaries right here on these grounds. Thanks again to the kindness of the Greenwood Hills Board making these grounds available to us and providing the meals and the accommodation that I don't even think it's at cost. 4 days we were here with, 11 meals, maybe 12 meals, and 4 nights accommodation to the missionaries was $50. So you know it's a nonprofit organization. Very thankful for that and for the time of rich blessing that we have had here, as many have been encouraged. We've had veteran missionaries here, T. Ernest Wilson and George Wiseman and others that have been able to counsel the younger ones. And then we've had those who have been on the field for a period of time and have seen a lot of changes, able to talk to them as well. And then we've had younger missionaries that are, I'll say younger, they may not be so young, but they're just going out for the first time, and they've been able to secure help. The ladies have been able to get together and talk about things that happen on the mission field and how they can cope with some of the things that we just take for granted here at home. But the Lord's servants on the mission field have different things to learn. They've getting help from taxes, you know. Some people think because you're in the Lord's service, you're exempt from taxes, but that's not quite true. You're still a citizen of the United States of Canada, and you have to pay your bills. Now, they're self-employed, and they may get an exemption from a good portion of their income that they receive when they're overseas, but they have to pay while they're here, and they have to pay self-employment tax. Now, they have to keep records that says how much of the money that comes to them is used for their own living. Then they have to pay Uncle Sam about 14% tax on that every year. So remember that when you're thinking about giving to the missionaries. They are not tax exempt. There are so many things that they need to learn and they need to have help with. And the service committees are organized to do that, to help them in any way they can. And our offer to these Lord's servants as they go out, if there is anything we can do, let us know and we'll try to do it. And you'd be surprised some of the strange things that the missionary service groups are asked to do. We're very thankful for these groups. They exist in the United States and Canada and all the countries of the United Kingdom and down in Australia, New Zealand, and elsewhere as well. Organizations seeking to help those that have responded to the call of the Lord and have gone to the mission field. Now, I don't know what more we can say about Bruce and his exercise. I would be very willing to open it up and ask if anybody had any questions that they would like to direct to Bruce. Maybe he won't be ready to answer, but he might try to. Does anybody have any questions about Bruce? Not about Bruce, that you'd like to ask Bruce? I know that's kind of a strange thing to say, but you never know what questions somebody might have in their mind. We know we've talked a lot to them about health problems, and you know when you go to Mexico, you'll have to look out for Montezuma's revenge, and please don't drink the water and all those things, but nevertheless, we know the Lord will be with him. And when he's at the Rio Grande Bible Institute, he will be studying, but you'll also be practicing your Spanish. Would you tell him something about the Rio Grande School? It's really not a missionary school.
Rio Grande Language School and Bible Institute is very similar to what we would have in this country, Emmaus, except it's in Spanish. So there are students who come from Mexico and Central America to study the Bible, to take Bible courses. But also connected with the school is the Language Institute, which is strictly for missionaries, those who are planning to minister in Mexico and Central America. So they have geared themselves strictly to prepare the missionary not only in language, but also to try to ease some of the shock of going into a new culture and to prepare them as best they can to be most effective in ministering to a people that we maybe know very little about. So that is the purpose for going there, is not only for the language, but also to become better equipped to meet the people where they are. It's also an opportunity, though, to meet with Christians who are at the Bible Institute, and to understand a little bit more about the Christians in that country and the way they look at things. And also, as they get involved in practical Christian ministry, they're required to do door-to-door evangelism, to go into Mexico and do street work. We will be accompanying them and listening, and hopefully then getting involved as well in some practical ministry right in the beginning. So there is a stress on application right away. The area that we will be in is also 80% bilingual. So again, it'll be a further opportunity to ease into the culture. And that's the reason why we chose that particular school. It seemed to be best suited for the ministry that we will be involved in.
One other question. What are your initial plans? I know you're looking to the Lord for guidance when you get to Mexico, but tell us something of your initial plans and, well, some of the future thoughts.
The area that we'll be in is Puebla. Puebla is a city. It's also a state. So that confused me in the beginning. But the city of Puebla, there is a camp located not too far from there, Camp Oasis of the Living Waters. Don and Claire Harris run that camp. Initially, they will help us to get settled in the city of Puebla. And there is an assembly there. And from there, we hope to minister to the small groups of believers scattered throughout the state of Puebla. They meet in homes many times, but they're in desperate need of Bible teaching, basic Bible teaching. And that will be one of the first areas that we'll be involved in, is in teaching, also in ministering to the groups of children, many of whom haven't heard the gospel at all, and there's just nobody there to give it to them. At that point, we hope then, the Lord willing, to raise up men to work with us, to go into the cities and to evangelize, to spread the gospel and to bring those new believers back into the assemblies in each area, so there might be an opportunity for discipleship among each individual group. And Lord willing, our plans are big. I don't know that the Lord will change those, but the peninsula itself, the Yucatan Peninsula, there's no assembly there at all. In fact, when we first started to look at Mexico, that was one of the things that we noticed, that there's not even one assembly out there. The Jehovah's Witnesses are very big there, the Mormons, of course, Catholicism is very well established, but there is no assembly out there. So, Lord willing, in the future, we would like to be able to do pioneer work on the peninsula.
I remind you to pick up one of the prayer cards at the back there and remember to pray for Bruce, and if you get a chance to visit with him and his family. I have a grandson who's going to be at boys camp, and one of his partners at boys camp is going to Mexico, and he's not too happy about it, but nevertheless they had a good time together a few days last week. But he's going to miss his friend, and I'm sure a lot of us will, and Bell family will be missed, but we know the Lord is going with them and he'll watch over them and care for them. Remember, too, if you want one of David Long's books, to see Bill Peterson. So shall we just commend ourselves to the Lord. Again, our God, we bow in thy presence for thanksgiving for this time we spent together. We thank thee, our God, for the exercise of heart that thou hast given to Bruce and Chris. We thank thee above all and primarily for the fact that thou sought them and found them when they were lost in their sin and brought them to thyself, and then touched their hearts with the need to tell others about the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. As they go off, Father, just watch over them, care for them, bless them as they travel with their trailer and all the children, and just keep them safe and bring them to Texas in good health and good strength, and bless them each day of their lives as they seek to serve thee. And we thank thee again for Greenwood Hills and for the service it is to the Lord's people, and just bless those that are responsible for it in every way. And now as we separate, we just pray that thou be with us, continue to bless us in all our activities of the day, as we commit ourselves to thee in the Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Thank you.